Hi, this is Ruth McCauley with news from the Decatur area for Thursday, June 2nd. We begin with some articles from the Herald and Review. Our first was written by Allison Petty, who's an H&R staff writer. Special prosecutor declines Sweeney charges. A special prosecutor has decided not to file charges against former Decatur Police Chief Brad Sweeney in allegations of eavesdropping and misconduct. Matt Goten, a prosecutor with the Illinois State's Attorney's Appellate Prosecutor's Office, said in a letter that he had reviewed information from Illinois State Police reports and other documentation before making his decision. Based on that review, I will be declining to file charges at this time, Goten wrote. If further evidence is received by our agency relevant to this matter within the applicable statute of limitation, I may reconsider. Consider this decision. The letter, dated May 27th, was filed Wednesday in Macon County Circuit Court. The state police investigation, initiated days after Sweeney was fired as police chief, reportedly concerned a camera that Sweeney had kept in his office, according to city manager Tim Gleason's testimony in a deposition taken April 7th. The deposition was taken as part of Sweeney's ongoing wrongful termination lawsuit against the city. First Assistant State's Attorney Nicole Kroenke filed a motion in April to appoint the special prosecutor to follow up on the state police report, saying the Macon County State's Attorney's Office could not handle it because of a conflict of interest. Kroenke filed a similar motion Tuesday, asking for a special prosecutor to investigate allegations of misconduct by Gleason. The investigations represent another arm in the tangled legal battle between the city and Sweeney. In his lawsuit, Sweeney alleges that one of the reasons for his termination was that he objected to Gleason's use of a police car and driver to reach the airport for a personal trip in May 2015. The use of the police car is the subject of Gleason's investigation by the special prosecutor. Gleason has acknowledged he used the police car immediately after the Greater Decatur Chamber of Commerce State of the City breakfast so that he could catch a flight to California for an event related to his son's Army service. He has said former Mayor Mike McElroy, who died in July, told him to make the arrangements for the car. Former Decatur Police Chief Mark Bartholomew filed a petition May 17th seeking to have a prosecutor appointed to investigate Gleason. At the time, Macon County State's Attorney Jay Scott said he had already forwarded all the materials concerning Sweeney and Gleason to the State Appellate Prosecutor's Office. However, the Appellate Prosecutor's Office said later that it was only appointed to handle the Sweeney matter at first, according to court documents. John Davis, Bartholomew's attorney, said Wednesday that Scott should have requested a prosecutor specifically to investigate Gleason from the beginning. I'm not judging Gleason. I don't know whether he committed a crime or not, Davis said. The point of the petition was to make sure an independent, objective investigation was conducted to find out, he said. Our next article is also on the front page of the Decatur Herald and Review, this one written by Justin Kahn, also an H&R staff writer, and it carries the headline, Gross, Keeping the Faith. Following what he called his most trying year in coaching, Illinois men's basketball coach John Gross returned to his roots. It was in the bedroom of his childhood home in Danville, Indiana, that Gross found inspiration for the speech he gave at Wednesday's community prayer breakfast held at the Decatur Conference Center and Hotel. In Gross's speech, titled Keeping the Faith, Gross spoke of becoming stronger in the face of adversity. Gross and the Illini faced plenty of it in the past year. Not only did the injury-plagued Illini miss the NCAA tournament for the third straight year and tie a program record with 19 losses, four players were arrested. Two of those players, Darius Paul and one of the team's top players, Kendrick Nunn, were dismissed. Gross revealed that his mother had fought cancer during the season, so at the end of the year he returned to the house he grew up in to see her. Gross had been asked by the organizers of the community prayer breakfast to come up with a theme for his presentation, and with that in the back of his mind as he entered his old room, he picked up a Bible laying on a shelf that had gathered dust. It had been given to him by his stepfather, Jerry Steele, whom Gross credited for introducing him to Christianity. "It was the Bible Jerry had given me the day I was baptized," Gross said. "It had been Jerry's father's. Jerry had written some things in the notes section in the back, and the first thing on the first page was, 'Keep the faith.' That's something Jerry always said, and I thought that would be the perfect title for this." Gross said no one likes challenges and criticism, and as they mounted during the past year, he didn't always handle them with a "what would Jesus do" mentality. But as he thumbed through the notes Steele had made, he read that "do not fear" was mentioned in the Bible 365 times, and it made him think of Isaiah 41:10. "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand," Gross read from the Bible. Gross said that verse was a wake-up call for him. "It reminded me that God is with me, and that's not changing," he said. "It reminded me that I'm here to serve Him, not man." Gross said when the team returns from its break June 10th, he's going to stress that they should embrace criticism, and brought up the book of Daniel chapter 3, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in which King Nebuchadnezzar attempted to throw the three men into a flaming furnace for not worshiping the gold idol the king had erected. "When they turn up that furnace, are we going to give up?" Gross said. He's going to ask his players. "No, we're going to stick to our values. The strongest steel is made in the hottest fire." A huge crowd turned out for the community prayer breakfast. "I've not been to anything like this of this size," Gross told the audience. He said he continues to be impressed with the support shown by Decatur. "I'm not supposed to have favorite towns and cities, but I've always gotten from Decatur a sense of realism, but also hope, as well as support and loyalty," Gross said. "And I want you to know it doesn't go unnoticed." Later, when speaking of the Bible's three main tenets, to love, to serve, and to give, Gross said Decatur was especially strong in its ability to give. "That's where I think this community is really special," Gross said. "I'm just really impressed with the faith base here, and I like the fans, too." David Kuczynski, Chief Executive Officer of Investment Planners Incorporated, one of the event sponsors, along with HSHS St. Mary's Hospital and the Greater Decatur Chamber of Commerce, introduced Gross. He said it was interesting that Gross and the City of Decatur have approached their challenges in a similar manner. "Decatur has been through a lot over the years, and even though there's some excitement the past few years, it hasn't been without trials," Kuczynski said. "It's been encouraging the way the city has come through that, and a lot of that is because of the strong faith in the community. Perseverance builds character. The ones who achieve greatness are the ones who look at challenges as opportunities," he said. John Kinney of Decatur was one of many on hand to hear Gross speak. He said he's retired now and has never been to a chamber event and also wanted to show his support for Gross. "He's had a lot of hurdles put in front of him, and he's had to do what he's had to do," Kinney said. "He's the kind of coach who's a role model to the players and sets an example for others. He's a sincere guy. Sometimes good people don't finish first, but I hope he catches a break and gets some good recruits coming in. He deserves it." We turn now to the local section of the Decatur Herald and Review with another article by Justin Kahn, this one with the headline, "DMH Honors Founders in 100th Year." It was 100 years ago in January that the dream of Sue Hageman and Dr. William Barnes came true, the formation of Decatur and Macon County Hospital. On Friday, in honor of Memorial Day, Decatur Memorial Hospital President and CEO Tim Stone, along with other members of the hospital administration, placed wreaths on the graves of Barnes at Greenwood Cemetery in Decatur and Hageman, who is buried in Bethany Cemetery. We wanted to pay our respects to the people who were instrumental in the founding of our hospital, Stone said. We want to pay tribute to them for everything they did to make Decatur Memorial Hospital possible. In 1897, Hageman and a group of women proposed a new hospital and worked for nearly 20 years trying to make it happen. Their dream came true after they influenced Barnes, a Decatur entomologist and surgeon, to get on board. Barnes's funding campaign raised $246,800 for the original building and equipment. Sue Hageman's dream was to create a second hospital in Decatur, a place for women to have children, Stone said. We're here to dedicate ourselves to continuing on their missions and dreams for the next 100 years. Within the first month of the hospital's formation, as Spanish influenza swept the nation, Barnes saw the need for more space and expansion was already being discussed. An east wing to the main hospital, a tuberculosis camp, and a contagious building. Barnes also said that as soon as the hospital force was organized, nurses would be sent out to conduct an educational campaign to promote the health of the community. This, he said, was among the duties and purposes of the hospital. Their vision was that our hospital would be an institution that would provide for the care of the community that we serve, Stone said. They had no way of knowing what the future would bring, or any ability to predict Medicare and health care reform. They were humanitarians who cared about the people of Decatur and Macon County. That's the vision and dream we hope to honor and continuously fulfill as we move forward into the next 100 years. Our next article comes from Sullivan and is written by Chris Lisvardi, who's an H&R staff writer. Rehabilitated Woods Lake set to reopen. A quaint fishing spot south of Sullivan is about ready for use again after extensive efforts to rehabilitate it over the past 5 years. Woods Lake will reopen Saturday after a celebration is held to mark the occasion, said Lee Mitchell, a natural resource specialist with U.S. Army Corps of Engineers at Lake Shelbyville. We've been doing a lot of work in here, Mitchell said. It's been quite the undertaking to get ready. The 30-acre lake was drained after a pipe failed and the water quality had degraded over time, Mitchell said. About 9 feet of silt was dug out and structures, including a partially covered handicapped fishing pier on the west side of the lake, added before the lake was again filled with water. About 1,400 acres drains into Woods Lake, which Mitchell said means it can fill quickly, and changes in the water level needed to be accounted for while constructing the wooden structures. Volunteers have assisted in the construction process, including the Ambucks Sullivan chapter with the fishing pier, and the courtesy boat dock was built as part of a Boy Scout service project, Mitchell said. Efforts have been underway to restock the lake with a healthy fish population, Mitchell added. Anyone fishing at the lake is asked not to add more fish or dump their bait buckets into the water, he said. The first year it will be catch and release only, Mitchell said. It will not quite be ready. We don't want help in stocking it. The types of fish that can be found in the lake include bass, bluegill, crappie, red ear sunfish, and channel catfish, Mitchell said. Many of those are still young and small, he said. The number of carp in the water has been concerning, said Mike Mounts, an Illinois Department of Natural Resources fishery biologist. Mounts was using an electric shock fishing method earlier this week to search for and remove carp from the lake. We want to keep carp numbers down, Mounts said. They can be extremely destructive and harmful to vegetation in the lake. Mitchell said the other work in the area has included adding a loop road to access the fishing points on the west side of the lake and clearing brush and trees on both sides in part to improve visibility. "It's shaping up well," Mitchell said. "I think people will like it." Activities scheduled from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday include a ribbon-cutting ceremony, kids' fishing tournament, hot dog roast, National Wild Turkey Federation archery and BB gun stations, canoe paddling lessons, and boat rides. A plaque listing the partners that helped with the project will be unveiled during the ceremony, Mitchell said. The west side of the lake, where the celebration will take place, is accessible off County Road 1000E north of the Bruce Finley Road and just west of Illinois 32. Another access point to the east side of the lake is located directly off Illinois 32. More fun activities. This in Decatur, an article written by Danette Beckett, who's an H&R staff writer. French fried 5K fun and funds for Decatur celebration. Boy, that was a difficult headline. Fried foods and a 5K run don't usually go together, but the organizers of the first French fried 5K and street party have designed the event to be fun for the community. And fried foods are safe foods to bring people together, said Rachel Barter, event assistant for Decatur Celebration. The event will begin with the 5K at 10 a.m. on Saturday, June 4th, in Central Park. The street party will begin at 11 a.m. and last until 3 p.m. Promoted as a family-friendly event, the race and street party were created as a fundraiser for Decatur Celebration. 10 local food and beverage vendors will be set up along the 3-mile route. Participants of the 5K can munch on a variety of foods, including hot dogs, donuts, and barbecue, while winding through the downtown course. Beverages meant to quench the thirst will be along the path, but will also include various drinks such as beer and coffee. It can all be picked up while walking or running, Barter said. According to the organizers, the race is meant to encourage family fun, whether they run, walk, or ride together. For an additional fee, participants can rent 2-passenger or 4-passenger golf carts. They refer to the non-runners as just for funners. At the conclusion of the race, participants are invited to the street party with a taste of Decatur style. Racers will receive 6 tickets with the opportunity to purchase more for $2 each. Food samples will be available from many local restaurants, such as the Beach House, Dell's Popcorn Shop, Henkel's Packing Company Incorporated, and Sloan's Calzones. Music will be provided by Misconduct. The event has characteristics keeping with the celebration's traditions. Throughout the 5K route, entertainers, jugglers, and dancers will be strolling the streets. Participants are encouraged to join in festivities with costumes and group ensembles. Barter said the organizers have always wanted to bring more family fun events to the community. The French Fried 5K and Street Party is the first attempt at a 5K combining a workout with local cuisine. It's another fun thing to do, she said. We're hoping to do it every year. In less happy news, still on the local page of the Decatur Herald and Review, an article written by Huey Freeman as part of the Crimes and Courts column, "Parolee Back in Custody After Police Raid Nets Stolen Firearm, Crack Cocaine, and Cash." Rakeem Hill, a parolee who was released from prison in December, is back in custody after Decatur Police Street Crimes detectives reportedly found him in possession of 2 firearms, including one listed as stolen, crack cocaine, and more than 450 $4,550. He is being held without bond in the Macon County Jail on preliminary charges, including possession of a firearm by a felon, possession of a firearm by a street gang member, and possession of a controlled substance with intent to deliver. After obtaining a search warrant, detectives and the Decatur Police Emergency Response Team conducted a raid on Hill's residence in the 1400 block of East Leafland Avenue at about 6:15 a.m. Friday. So I guess that's last week. Hill, 22, was found in an upstairs bedroom. In a trash can near the bed, detectives found about 1.9 grams of crack cocaine. A digital scale was on a desk. After noticing a screw that appeared new in a floor vent, a cooler was located behind the ductwork between floor joists. The cooler contained $4,502, a Glock 26 9mm pistol, a Glock loaded magazine, and a loaded Ruger 357 Magnum revolver. The Ruger was reported stolen in Normal in 2014. In another bedroom, detectives found a purse, 19 grams of cocaine in a plastic baggie, a digital scale, and a box of baggies. The street value of the crack cocaine found in the residence was estimated at $2,120. In a police interview, Hill denied ownership of the crack cocaine and handguns located at the residence. Hill was convicted in 2011 of aggravated unlawful use of a weapon in a case in which he was originally charged with shooting at a 16-year-old boy. He was sentenced to 24 months on probation. In March 2015, he pleaded guilty to unlawful possession of a firearm by a felon in a case in which he was originally charged with shooting at a woman's house in 2013. He received a 2-year prison sentence in that case. During his prison term, he stood trial in September for aggravated discharge of a firearm for allegedly firing 13 shots at a house the night of March 11, 2015. Some of the bullets entered the house. The victim, who identified Hill shortly after the shooting, later changed her story. Hill was acquitted. Hill is due in court by Friday for his arraignment. We turn now to the Decatur Tribune Online and pick up some of the upcoming events and meetings in the Decatur area that might be of interest. The first is the Ladies Guild at Mount Calvary Lutheran Church, 2055 South Franklin Street Road in Decatur, will have its annual rummage sale, bake sale, and luncheon on Friday, June 3rd and Saturday, June 4th. The rummage sale and bake sale will be held June 3rd from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. and June 4th from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. The luncheon will be held from 10:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. June 3rd only, and June 4th is takeout only. And a homemade pulled pork platter will cost $8. Mowikwa Powwow Days will be held Saturday, June 4th. Registration will be held from 9 a.m. till noon. Car, tractor, and motorcycle show and judging will be held from noon to 3 p.m. and awards presented at 2:30 p.m. There will be 12 classes with trophies presented for the top three per class. There will also be special awards, a 50-50 drawing, door prizes, a DJ, and food. Pre-registration entry fee will be $10 and $12 if registering the day of the show. For additional information, contact Ken Long at 217-855-7905 or Les Aubert at 217-201-1826. The Decatur Area Women's Network, or DAWN, will meet on Thursday, June 9th at 5:30 p.m. at the Decatur Club. Bryson Turnbull, Park Ranger, National Park Service in Springfield, will be speaking on the topic, celebrating 100 years of our national parks. In honor of the centennial, the National Park Service launched the Find Your Park and Every Kid in a Park initiatives to inspire all generations to connect with, enjoy, and support America's national parks. Turnbull will describe these initiatives and how to get involved. For reservation, email www.decaturdawn.org by Sunday, June 5th. So that's around the corner. St. Mary's Hospital at 1800 East Lakeshore Drive in Decatur will host an ARP Smart Driver class on Tuesday, June 7th from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Class fee is $15 for ARP members and $20 for non-members. For additional information or to register, call Marge at 217-464-2046. Mallow Final Tribute, the Macon County Sheriff's Office, will hold a final ride tribute for deceased K-9 Officer Mallow at 2 p.m. today. So I'm not sure when you're hearing this, it might have occurred. Mallow's partner and handler, Timothy Hook, will go into service with Mallow for the final time at Pershing Road and Main Street at 2 p.m. and will ride south on Main Street to West Macon Street, where they and other officers will pause for a brief ceremony. Afterward, Hook and his new canine partner will part ways with Mallow's remains for the last time. The public is invited to witness the ride along the route and the ceremony at Main and Macon Streets. The northbound lanes of US 51 were closed briefly yesterday evening after a two-vehicle crash at the intersection of US 51 and Andrews Street Road, according to the Macon County Sheriff's Office. The injuries at the scene were not reported to be life-threatening, and the accident was under investigation by the Sheriff's Office. And this may be past news. The 2500 and 2600 blocks of West Center Street were reduced to one lane from 8:30 to 10 o'clock earlier today. The City of Decatur crews were scheduled to be performing ditching work with the weather permitting, which it does seem to have done. One final upcoming event, comedian Gilbert Gottfried performs on Sunday, June 5th at the Decatur Civic Center. Tickets for the 7 p.m. show are $25. VIP tickets, which include upfront table seating and buffet, are $45. Tickets are available at 217-421-7452. At mainhangerrestaurant.net or in person at the Main Hangar. We're out of time for this first half hour of news from the Decatur area for June 2nd. We're going to take a quick break and then return with our second half hour. And I hope you'll be able to stick around. If not, we'll catch you next week.